Hi, everybody. Hal Eisner here. Welcome to another edition of What the Hal. You know, it used to be that when you said prostitution, you thought crime. And it used to be that a prostitute would be arrested for committing a crime. Now, many police agencies look at the prostitute as being a victim of human trafficking. And not only are police agencies now looking at prostitution that way, but even now a high school in Southern California has a project to help young people learn the signs of human trafficking. Because as we're about to find out, sometimes human trafficking begins in school. Let's start off by having you introduce yourselves. Hector, why don't we start with you?
Dr. Hector Galicia, principal at Valley High School with the Santa Ana Unified School District.
I'm Kevin Carvajal, and I'm a senior at Valley High School.
My name is Angelica Barca, and I'm a junior at Valley High School.
Elizabeth Gagner, I'm the director and founder of the Freedom Ride Project and the Freedom Ambassador Program.
Ashley Hernandez, a junior at Valley High School.
Okay. All right. And what everybody has in common here is a concern about human trafficking. And so why don't we start off with Elizabeth and sort of explain human trafficking?
Sure. So human trafficking is comprised of sex trafficking and labor trafficking mostly. And in the program that we'll talk about, we address that topic with the students of Valley High School. Sex trafficking and labor trafficking are both when someone is coerced or forced into either performing sexual acts or taking on labor that they don't want to do.
What changed? Because police suddenly started saying, well, wait a minute, we're arresting prostitutes. And then all of a sudden it was, well, wait a minute, we're arresting victims. Mm. How did that change?
I know that in Orange County, they've been at the forefront, the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force, of moving to what's called a victim-based approach. So in the past, a police officer would arrest someone in the act, and often the person that was a perpetrator would be let go. But the person who was often the girl who was the prostitute was then incarcerated, you know, and treated like they were the perpetrator.
It's interesting because of the prostitutes with whom I've spoken, mm-hmm. they prefer to be called survivors mm-hmm. or former sex workers, mm-hmm. sex industry workers. Mm-hmm. They get almost an allergic reaction to the word prostitute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there is a distinction with the term. A prostitute is not a minor. So if they're a minor, then they're considered a victim of human trafficking.
Now, in the case of one Wendy Barnes, who's a mm-hmm. woman that mm-hmm. I have met before and
Correct.
We've done stories about, Wendy is a grown-up. She's an adult.
Yes.
For 13 years, she was under the thumb of a trafficker.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Was she a minor? She wasn't
yes.
a minor. Was she
was 15 years. So when she met her boyfriend in high school, she was 15 years old. He got her pregnant, and then he threatened her with the fact that, well, you know, if you don't make some money for me, we can't get some baby formula or pay for the diapers for the child. And don't you love your child? Don't you love? Because that was the one thing he discovered. That was her weak point, is she wanted to be a good mother. And he used that to basically coerce her and trick her into
manipulate
her. Right, exactly.
And it worked.
It did, but you know, it was something she didn't want to do, but she felt that's what she had to do. She didn't have any choice.
And so how did she get out of it?
That's a long time for someone to be in trafficking. What was interesting in that interview is her daughter was also in the room with us, if you recall. And they had, I think, a harem of up to 15 women that were living in the home that her husband or boyfriend was trafficking. And at some point in time, she realized enough is enough. So she called somebody when something really bad went down. They came to the door and arrested and walked in, and everybody was in there, and they arrested him.
Now, just for the sake of laying out the foundation here, sex trafficking is not the only kind of trafficking.
That's correct.
There's also
labor trafficking.
And explain that.
So labor trafficking, I mean, it preys a lot on immigrants who are at risk because they don't have the proper paperwork. So someone might be forced to work extra really long hours under duress, and often they will maybe also be sex trafficked. But they will be threatened with the fact of, you know, you're not legal here. So if you know, you go to the police or something, then you're not going to be able to stay in this country. We'll report you. They often will hold the documents from those people as well.
So you've been very active in all of this. Mm-hmm. And so let's kind of break things down a little bit. Your group is called Freedom Ride?
Our organization is a Freedom Ride Project.
Mm-hmm. And so you have a bike ride every year.
That's correct.
And uh-huh. When's the next one?
We haven't set the date. It's going to be in the summer next year.
In the mm-hmm. summer. Mm-hmm. And so this is like most organizations. You ride a mile, you pledge some money. That's how you get the money you need for the organization?
Right. We have corporate sponsors, too. But our goal with the bike rides is that we're raising awareness on through different communities. So when we went from Bend, Oregon to Newport Beach, we actually were with the police force. We were stopping to meet with chiefs of police and their staff to talk about the victim-based approach and to pull communities together so that we'd raise awareness. And what happened with this program is people said, well, instead of just catalyzing programs starting in communities, why don't you start your own program? And so that's how the Freedom Ambassador Program was born.
And what we learned about Wendy Barnes, and I keep coming back to her, mm-hmm. but what's interesting about Wendy Barnes is Wendy was trafficked from the Northeast down to Orange County because she was from the Northeast.
Exactly.
But Orange County is where the money was and the mm-hmm. potential customers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so she would be like other women, mm-hmm. trafficked down the mm-hmm. West Coast mm-hmm. until she got to Orange County.
Right.
You know, I want to now shift the focus a little bit here because this idea of going into the high schools was also your organization's.
Mm-hmm, that's
and,
correct.
And what explain that to me.
So there are a lot of great educational programs out there, and what we wanted to do is go beyond education and actually empower youth to be able to have an impact with their peers, basically. Because, you know, when youth become teenagers, they often don't listen to the adults in their lives. And if a youth is being trafficked at a
teenagers
school.
Teenagers don't do that. I didn't do that when I was a teenager. Did
right.
you do that when you were a teenager?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Right. And so this idea is it's a peer-to-peer approach where teenagers have their ears to the ground and know what's happening on their campuses. We have had at least one case, there's actually two cases now, where the students have talked about they know what's happening on campus. And most recently we heard of one of the girls it's happening to that we believe our program is already having an impact with.
So the idea of bringing this into school probably had a lot of tentacles to it, one of which was this starts in schools.
Correct.
Oftentimes it's young women, young guys mm-hmm. under the age of 18 that get caught in the trap. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know statistically how that falls? I mean,
well, 25% of victims of human trafficking are minors, are below the age 25%. Of 18.
25%?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and that's a global statistic, yeah.
So we have three high school kids in the studio with us right now. And I guess, you know, part of what I really want to understand is when you first got into this program, it was offered, right? And so you had the opportunity to get into this program. Did you really, let's start with you. Did you really go, oh, I can't wait to get into this program? This sounds really cool.
Honestly, no. I think we all started not knowing what we were getting into.
You had no idea.
No, we didn't. But I think as we got in, we started learning and we started actually being involved and seeing that it was a great impact.
All right. Okay. And what was the impact for you?
Well, at first, before I joined the program, we didn't know much about human trafficking.
You didn't even know what that meant, did you?
I knew what it meant, but I didn't really know much about it.
What did you think it meant?
I thought it was just prostitution, but it's not just prostitution.
Well, it's trafficking. It's somebody taking somebody and moving them around.
Yeah.
For the purpose of something. In the case of sex, it's for the purpose of sex. In the case of workers or bringing immigrants and trafficking them around, it's for the purposes of low-income work, right?
Yeah.
So what did you learn in this program? You've been in the program 5 months?
Around 5 months, yeah. 5, 6.
What'd you learn?
I learned that it's a big problem in our community.
And so what can you do about it?
Well, just spread awareness and let them know that they're not alone.
How do you spread awareness?
Well, we're making a mural. Well, my group is making a mural. And
a mural that'll go on the side of your school?
That would go on the side of the school, yes.
And what does it say?
Well, it doesn't say specifically human trafficking, but it gives images of what's going around the community.
And so it's to sort of be a visual reminder. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then you're wearing a button that says BT1. What is that?
BT1 stands for Be the One.
Be the One. Be the One that what?
Be the one to be there for someone to reach out to. Be that hand that someone reaches out to.
So let me ask the principal. I mean, they came to you and said, well, we have this program, and you were in a position to either say yay or nay, and what'd you do and why?
Well, I was surprised because previously I have been involved in the prevention and intervention of human trafficking through other organizations in Long Beach area, the Riverside area, as well as Lake Elsinore and Escondido. So I have learned about this problem for the past 4 or 5 years. In addition, you know, I have also supported and also helped some of the survivors.
Well, that basically means that you saved 5 people.
That's correct, yes.
Four girls.
Yes.
1 boy.
That's correct.
Tell me about those.
I think that the most impactful one was the siblings. It was a girl, 16 years old, with her brother, 15. Both of them were brought from Minnesota. Mom was drugged, and she was selling her kids for drug money. She was incarcerated. Then they were shipped over to the father. Father was in the type of same behaviors. After months, he was also incarcerated. And then they were shipped over to a family member down in Escondido.
So to be clear, the mother in this particular case was serving as a john, basically? Was prostituting the kid?
That's correct.
Both of the kids, mm-hmm. A boy and a girl.
Yes.
The ages were?
16 and 15, but it had gone already for about 4, I would say almost 5 years.
Elizabeth, how often do parents become the people that traffic their kids? That's really weird.
It's terrible. You know, I mean, I think in foreign countries it happens a lot more because of the social demographic situation of them needing to pay loans. So they get get in dire straits and someone comes and offers them a loan and then the payback has a lot of interest and they're stuck. And, I mean, that's one scenario. And they will accept under pressure to sell their child. And it may start out by, well, we're going to do it this one time, but then it happens over a longer period of time. And in the United States, the case that Dr. Galicia mentioned is frequently what's happening is they have a drug addiction and they're selling their kids to be able to meet that need.
That's just mind-blowing. It really is hard to sort of get your head around. So what do you think about these kids learning this as part of a curriculum in your school?
Well, we started with more of a club model, we'll say, in which there were students that volunteered to be part of this program. And through the learning, the main purpose of it is awareness. We want these students to be ambassadors and to spread the word, not only at our school campus, but also throughout the community.
You know, I don't want to minimize or marginalize anything about what this is. But I do want you to take the opportunity, maybe Elizabeth, to take the opportunity and sort of tell people out there who may be listening to us what you think would be helpful for them to understand. Because I think this is a sure. good vehicle for mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that the students did is they went through a 12-week education program, which we did in partnership with Vanguard University, which has a great research center specialized in human trafficking. And we wanted the students to learn what are all the different ways that it happens and how does it happen most often in their environment. And what came out of that is these students then took on these 5 different projects to address human trafficking as it was happening in their environment. And one of the things that happens frequently, which was portrayed in a film that was made by the students, it was entirely directed and created by the students, called The Untold Truth, is about a high school girl who has a boyfriend, very much like the Wendy Barnes story, who she falls in love with and she thinks he loves her and he's treating her, you know, in a way that has her fall in love. And then he turns against her and sells her, basically, ask her to do a favor for him and sleep with another boy, which then becomes more and more, and he gets the money. And that's not an uncommon way that it happens, right? The other thing, and Dr. Galicia is familiar with this situation, I think, through one of his cases, is a child, it could be a boy or girl, is groomed. So in other words, they're being trafficked, but then they're groomed to actually become the trafficker. And then when they're groomed and well-trained, they're moved to another school, planted in that school, and they're innocently on the campus. Basically, they are knowing where to watch for the vulnerable kids. So where's the child that has low self-esteem? Where's the one who's kind of left out? And they show up with nice things. And then they go to that other child and they say, well, you can have one of these two if you come with us. And we have one of our projects is called the Mirror Empowerment Project, and the girls in that project learn that traffickers prey on kids that are at risk and have low self-esteem. So their whole project is about building these mirrors where you look in the mirror and you say, I'm beautiful, I'm powerful, I'm strong. And they hand wrote little notes on each of the mirrors, and now we're now distributing them in partnership to different foster care
homes. How effective, though, is that? I mean, to say I'm powerful, to say I'm strong, they're words.
Correct.
Their words. Yeah. And when you've been beaten down into submission as a victim of human trafficking, how effective is something like you're beautiful, you're great, you're wonderful when you've been beaten down with this stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think the other part of what they have, though, is that those mirrors have information on human trafficking. What are the signs to watch for? And especially, what is the hotline? So what is the hotline, and what is that they can text to be free? And we tried, we actually, one of the things that we did, all these kids had to go through a Shark Tank experience to pitch their ideas, is we had the kids go and actually contact the hotline to see what happened, right? So I think your team did it, right?
Yeah.
And so all of the projects have that phone number and that text message, including the mural, plastered all over. So if you have somebody going by that mural or seeing that mirror or watching that film, there's a call to action for that person who may be a victim or may just be at risk or may also see what's going on around them and could help that other student.
I'm curious, and we may have talked about this before because we've known each other for a while, but why did you get into this? What was the motivator for you?
Yeah. So for me, it started back in the 1990s, and I was doing some work in Thailand in an orphanage, and I actually met kids that had been trafficked by their own parents. The first case of parents selling their kids as a means for financial survival, basically. And when I came back to the States, I started with a bike ride across the U.S. to raise awareness about human trafficking and raise money for a home in Thailand. But as I traveled and talked to people in the communities, I discovered it's happening right here. And there weren't enough people. I think it's better now, but there weren't enough people talking about how it's happening right here, particularly in Orange County, where you think there's no way it's happening in Orange County, right, with the socioeconomic environment we have. And yet our school, where we are with Valley High, it's a school where there's shootings, where there's gangs, and we're 2 miles away from South Coast Plaza, which is a very wealthy mall, right? So it's happening right here. And it's happening right here also because a pimp can make 2-3 times more money off of a child, a girl, in Orange County because of the money. Because of the affluency, basically.
But there's also the worker human trafficking.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, 20% of the Orange County are immigrants. So they're already at risk population, right? And so people will sometimes be brought over from Mexico, smuggled across the border in trucks, on boats too, and brought in. And then they're basically hired to do, they don't know where they're going, or they're promised a job and they show up here and they're working under duress. And then they're illegal, or sometimes they come from a country where the situation isn't much better. So they don't even themselves perceive that they're being trafficked.
Let me ask you, what do you think of this program that you've been involved in, and you know, would you recommend it for others, and if so, why?
I would definitely recommend it for other people.
Why? Well, you could just say anything. I mean, there must be a reason because you've learned something, right?
What? I would, like I said, but it's like, so it could be more known because, like, not a lot of people know about it. And when they do hear it, they're just like, oh, like, they don't really care. They don't pay attention to it.
Did you find there are a lot of kids that are your age? And how old are you?
I'm 18.
18. You think there are a lot of kids your age that think this is, ridiculous? That human trafficking, you know, it's not in their world, not something they should be worried about?
I feel like more people, like the people who are like around my age, they're more worried about their cell phones than what's happening in the real world.
Well, that's a good point. Well, so how do you change that? I mean, you're an ambassador as part of this program. Mm-hmm. That means you want to be the one that makes a difference.
Yes.
How do you be the one? How do you do that? How do you make these kids be concerned about human trafficking as opposed to their smartphones?
By having a voice, like spreading more awareness and like speaking out and not staying quiet about it.
Okay. So that in and of itself is really the value of this program because it gives a voice to these teenagers.
Correct.
And so what's been your experience with this? I mean, are there people being helped as a result of this?
You know, I'm going to touch back on what Elizabeth mentioned earlier, if I may. She mentioned about manipulation. It is a mind game. It is students that have low self-esteem, we'll say. You know, psychologists speak in regards to if you tell a child as early as 5 years old, you're smart, you're smart, you're smart, they will become smart. If you tell the child as early as 5 years old the opposite, they will become the opposite. You know, and that's research-based psychologist.
That's not just manipulation. That's molding and
that's
grooming.
That's molding, and that's the grooming part, which is what a John would do to this young youth. They are going to mold them and groom them by manipulation of the mind. So it's not much so the drug infestation. It's not much so the physical part of it as far as the physical abuse. And the beating is all about the mindset. You know, and I think that's where Beth was speaking in regards to the manipulation.
So Elizabeth, let me ask you. You've been doing this for a while. And you've had the bike rides and you've had the various programs that you've worked very hard on. Are you making a difference? Do you feel tangibly there's a difference?
Absolutely. I mean, if you only save one life, for me, it's a difference, right? Mm-hmm. And we already know of one potential case through the school. But also, I can see the youth that are in this program and how they've transformed, how they're talking to their kids. Dr. Gleason and I were talking to them before we came over here and asking them, so are you talking to your friends? What are they saying? And they're asking questions. And we just got back from a large conference at Vanguard where they were acknowledged. And there's a lot of buzz with social media on the campus. And the students were asking them. So they are drawing awareness. I mean, students like Angelica and Ashley, who are on the social media team, that's their mission on their team, is they're putting a lot of things on social media, and we're starting to grow the population of students, student to student, you know, raising awareness.
And you want to see this in more schools?
Absolutely.
How many schools do you have it in now?
Well, this is our first pilot year. We have a lot of people coming to us, but this is the first year that we've actually done it.
Have other schools indicated an interest?
We've had, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we may see this sort of perpetuate itself across the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so let's sort of give everybody a final thought. We can start with Angelica. And why don't you sort of give us a final thought with regard to human trafficking and what you'd like people to be thinking about?
What do you mean?
Well, let's break the question in half. First of all, what do you think is the most important thing you learned about all of this?
The most important thing that I learned about this is
do I have to put words in your mouth? I can. The most important thing you've learned about this probably is that what you once thought was prostitution is human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And that people get manipulated?
Yes.
And so have you told other kids your age? Actually, you're 18, so you're an adult. But have you told other 18-year-olds your feelings about this? And 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds?
I have, but they don't really pay attention to it. They don't listen.
That would seem to me to be a bit of an issue. Mm-hmm. That you can talk, but you got to have people who are interested in hearing, right? And so how do you deal with that, Hector?
Well, I think it's definitely...
I should be saying Dr. Hector, but what the hell?
You know, it's definitely a problem within our community, and there's mixed feelings about it. Is it prostitution? Are they victimized into this? Is it happening because the victim, quote-unquote, is allowing it to happen? Or are they actually, you know, victimized into something like this? So it's definitely a very controversial topic. Although, we cannot stop. We cannot stop to, you know, to reason, in fact, to say, is this really true or is it not true? You know, if my student is not reading at his grade level, I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to keep on providing some sort of interventions in order for them to be proficient readers.
Okay.
In this same case, I'm going to keep on trying and spreading the word and supporting students in order for them to get out of that victimized mindset.
Ashley, you want to add something in here?
I think a lot of people, when they think about human trafficking, they don't really acknowledge it because they think that prostitutions or survivors, they think it's their choice, but they don't really see that. Most of the times, in most of the cases, it's not their choice to be in there or be in that position. And they think of it that it's easy just to get out, but it's not. They don't know the circumstances that they're going through. And,
Well, I think you've summed it up very well. I think you've summed it up very well because that really is sort of the nuts and bolts of it. And maybe Elizabeth, sort of a last thought. Mm-hmm. Did you want to add something in here, by the way? You want to give us sort of a final thought as well?
Well, I just want everybody to know, that there's always someone that you could talk to, and, there's always going to be hope for every problem you have. And, never give up on themselves. that they shouldn't feel alone, that they should always have someone that they should trust.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel much better with all of you in the room with me. But Elizabeth, two things here. One, a final sort of thought, the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And also, if other schools, if there are principals listening, if there are people listening from other states, and they may have some level of interest in wanting to reach out to you, what do you want to tell them?
So I think the final thought is really that this is a powerful program that engages students and has an impact in their communities. And the other thing that we didn't mention, that going back to Angelica's comment about students being more concerned with their phone than issues, is the number one way that students are basically approached is through the internet. That's the number one way that students are lured in, is through the internet, whether they're playing video games or they're on Facebook. And so being safe with your media is extremely important.
Does it start as a soft sell?
Somebody talks
to you on social media.
I mean, one of the students
buddies up.
Yeah, one of the students, for example, in our class, they had their friend got a text back from or a message back on Instagram where she had posted a picture of herself, and the person came right out and said, "I'll give you $1,500 if you will pose nude for me." You know,
oh, really?
So it's these kind of lures. You can be a model, or you can just do this for some fast cash. But before they know it, they're lured, they're brought in somewhere, they're gang raped, it's videotaped, that they're then threatened that will go viral, that'll be put on social media, and then they're hushed. I mean, you have students every day that are going to class, in and out of class. They look like they're normal on the outside. They may show up with some bruises, and if someone is informed and knows how to notice the signs, they will notice them. But it's not like they're captured and taken and in hiding somewhere. It's like they're going to school every day. And so if you have other students on campus who know how to identify what are the warning signs of someone who's at risk or starting to be trafficked, the earlier the better, then that's how we can have an impact from student to student on our campuses. And that's the impact we've had so far, even with the couple cases that I mentioned.
Website?
freedomride.bike.
So you can get a lot more information there.
Exactly.
And you can contact Elizabeth through there.
And you can see the movies, our film too, the student film that we made, as well as a film about the entire program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Ashley. She's got the cutest giggle, doesn't she?
So going back to what Elizabeth said, I think that although social media or the internet can be used like as a way a predator can contact these girls, I also think that's a way to inform these girls, because like we said, that teenagers are usually more involved in like social media, like in Instagram, Snapchat, and all that. I think using what like the resources that we have, I think we could get to them and like spread the word.
Thanks to the kids, thanks to the principal, thanks to Elizabeth Gegner, thanks to everybody involved in this conversation. It's a very important one. Human trafficking is getting a lot more attention these days, and it's important, really, I think, to understand what it all means. Thanks for joining us for another edition of What the How. If you haven't yet, please subscribe, and we'll see you next time.